All right, today, let's worry about today, okay? Let's live for today and don't worry about tomorrow.
Sha-na-na-na.
We are at the Masters.
We are.
How the hell did we get here?
I don't know. I'm really confused.
I don't know, but thank you, Gentleman Jack.
Yeah, thanks to Gentleman Jack. Now, the setup is curious because, seriously, the more questions people ask me about where are you staying, where are you broadcasting from, you know, what kind of access do you have? I had no answers until today. And I still don't know where we're staying, really, because we still haven't been to the house that we're staying at. But we do know the following. The Musers will be out here later on this afternoon. We are probably going to meet them at our house because we are all staying, the six of us, me, Michael, Danny, George, Craig, and Gordon, in one house. And I'm under the assumption that this is akin to what a lot of the people who are staying here, the way that they go about their business as far as accommodations go, and that is they get a house from a local to rent because these people charge out the ass. They leave for the week. They leave for, you know, 10 days or whatever. They let their house be taken over by whoever, and that's it. They get 20 grand. Dude, it's unbelievable.
They take the money, they go somewhere, and when they come back, it's none of the worse for the wear.
It is the easiest money you could ever make, and it speaks to so many things, but mainly just the popularity of this stinking tournament and how people will do anything to get here and pay anything to experience it.
It's a budgeted expense for them to get out here.
It kind of is. You know, it's funny. We were entering the Augusta Airport today, flying in from Charlotte, and we get off the plane, and it's, you know, very much like what you used to do in the 60s. You walk down the steps of the plane, and you're not, like, walking out the tarmac and all that
stuff.
You're
out on the airfield.
You're up the tunnel. Yes, you're out there on the actual tarmac.
Yeah.
And you walk down the gang of the steps, and there you are, you know, like, it used to be.
The Augusta Airport was essentially built for this tournament and this tournament only, and it's about the actual airport's about the size of a Luby's, and it kind of looks like a Luby's storefront, to be honest with you.
Behind Luby's.
But
it's a small airport.
As we're walking in, we pass the hundreds of private jets. We walk in, and the first people we see are these three, four, five young dudes that were like, "Ardline." And we kind of look at them, and they're on their way out.
Right, they're leaving.
Because they were here for Tuesday and partial Wednesday and maybe even Monday. I have no idea. Some people come out on Sunday and do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. But it seems like everybody does the same thing. It's a two-day thing. Like, this is all partitioned off into a two-day event. You just pick your 2 days. Ours is Wednesday, Thursday. The Musers is really
Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, yes. But like all these guys out here from Gentleman Jack and Woodford, all these guys are here doing the 2 day thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we may catch one day and one the next, and then a new group comes in or whatever. But that's what it seems to be, the norm around here. Now we are at this place called the Championship Club, which is about a 7 minute walk from the main entrance of Augusta National.
A little bit longer than that, but yeah, you're close.
Okay. And, I mean, it's nothing. It took no time for us to get over there.
No.
But it's on a row of, it's a neighborhood. We're in a neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
And around us are other houses, but we're on this row of houses that just so happen to be used for the exact same reason as this one. And this Championship Club, and I know we're going to talk to the guy because I got a million questions for him. This thing is a house that this guy bought, and the houses around it are the same thing. What, 2,500 square foot homes, basically?
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's got an upstairs, too, doesn't it?
Does it? Okay.
I think so.
And a big patio that's been gutted to suit, to accommodate a big gathering.
Right.
An event.
Yeah, an event.
And this is a place to hang out.
Yeah, and all these houses are the same thing on this row. And they all have little catchy names.
The Trophy Club, the Championship Club.
Right, right. And they're about
27-putt club.
There are about six or seven of them lined up And we are in one of those houses right now broadcasting. Now, this is not the house we're staying in tonight. That's totally separate. But you come in here, and it's food, like different food every 30 minutes, it seems like.
Different. They have a catering company out back that just brings in different stuff all the time.
And
an entire bar with all of the stuff behind it.
Mike, they have everything back there.
I know.
They want you to drink it all.
Yes, they do. They do.
They also have an executive chef at the houses.
When this, we go, of course,
when we go back
voice
for dinner,
of killer.
We'll have a nice filet mignon and other.
Are you serious?
So, yes.
Let me tell you guys,
this is ridiculous.
I belong here. This is where I belong.
These are your people. I think you do. In your brain.
I want to live here always.
I know you do.
Why can't there be a Masters every week?
With his money background, of course he does.
He feels like this is the way his life should be.
Well, and it's not.
It's the way it's always been.
I know.
And now he's just totally back in his element again.
Shut up. Everybody shut up here.
But meanwhile, Mike and I are looking for the cement pond.
So let's start with the morning. We had an early one.
Yes, we did.
As 5 o'clock rolled around pretty early.
5 o'clock came early today.
It did.
And fast.
And so one Dan Dingu Paul, well, Mike and I got to the airport.
What time did you guys roll in?
I got there at about 6 and made it through security, and Mike was already there at 6:15. I couldn't believe it.
You were already there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was up at 4:30 today.
My plan was to be there at 6 o'clock.
Right.
I had one alarm set for 5. I had one alarm set for 4:50 and woke up at 5:48 with both of them just blasting ass.
Oh, my God. And you have a 7 a.m. flight.
Yep. Yep.
And I don't know how you did this.
Man, I don't know how you did this either.
Well, I was already packed from the night before. All I had to do is just throw on my clothes, brush my teeth, and head out the door. I wanted to take a shower and wake up and have some coffee, look
right
at the internet, you know.
Do a couple lines.
At least.
Fresh air pepper.
But between I got ready and got to the airport, cleared security, and got to the gate in a total of 45, 40, about 47 minutes.
That is
wow.
Unbelievable. Because the one thing that I noted on my ride out there, and, you know, going down 635, because that's back where I live over there in Lake Highlands, and I caught the new express lanes. No one's on those
Nobody.
Lanes. No one's on those lanes ever. But normal old 635, at 5:30 in the morning, packed.
Tons of traffic for me to get out. Between my house.
Who are these people?
Slingshotting around Woodall to get on Stemmons, not the butt. I'm thinking, I'm going to miss this flight. I'm not going to get on this plane.
I still can't figure out how you made it that fast.
I cleared up after the little elbow where it shoots you back going north, and it was clear. And thank you, Park Place Volvo, because that sucker goes about 95 when you need it to.
Jeez. And you found a place to park and quickly and all
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it was close. I mean, it really wasn't close.
Yeah.
The flight took off. We didn't even get off the ground until like 7:15, 7:20. So it worked out fine, but it's that panic feeling.
Dude,
I can't stand.
I'd been on the plane. Mike and I had been on the plane for a good 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it.
Did either one of you try to call me or anything?
And then I see, well, what good would that have done?
I don't know, just to say, hey, are you going to make it?
Well, it was 6:30 when they started to board the plane, and I walked back to Mike, and I go, dude, typically I'm worried about you at this point. I go, I'm really worried about Danny. And then I'm like, what if I call? Right now at 6:30, what good is it going to do?
It's true.
So I was like, all right, he's on his own. And
if it'll make you feel any better, I thought about it, too.
Oh, thanks.
The only time we could the time to call. Well, I texted you. I texted both of you and said C-39.
I didn't get that.
Are you serious?
Dead.
I don't know if I got that either.
Yeah, I did that at 5:30. I said C-39.
Nope.
And that was my wake-up call to everybody.
That never came through, bro.
Okay. But, yeah.
Brontosaurus.
If I would have known that, I would have called you at 5:30. But would it have done any good? I mean, you had two buzzers going off in your ear.
No, nothing would have done any good. And there was only the reason I think this happened is because I had my phone Bluetooth set on Bruce Springsteen to listen to the river to go to sleep last night, and it worked. But I don't think this alarm, I don't know, I think the alarm volume was compromised on my phone.
Yeah. All right, we got a lot more to talk about.